Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
As someone who likes to stay close to home and haven't traveled internationally in 12 years, I say do it. Just take the flight, even if it's long, even if it's exhausting, even if it's uncomfortable, even if there's like a million buses and train rides and connections, even if there's no AC system that you're used to, even if it's different, just trust the process. The most thing that I've learned in the end is that it's worth it while you're alive and to just let go and have trust.
Ready?
You didn't tell me we were ready to.
Welcome to... We're not.
Okay. Hello, welcome to another episode of Journal Hijabi, coming to you live from south of Spain, San Lucas de Barrameda.
We're currently in Atencione Big Pocket.
We're in Policia. We're having our chai. This is Rubios. It's called Rubios tea. It's very yummy. Hello.
So do you want to tell them about our experiences so far? Welcome back to Journal Hijabi. I am your host, Sirin, and I'm joined with Policia, with
my sister, Yasmin, and this is my third time here on the podcast, and it's really amazing because I feel like every time I come, it's a new, updated version of myself, and I look back at the past episodes and I can really listen to myself and just see how much growth has happened since the last episode. So I love coming on here. It's always a pleasure. Make me feel good. Make me feel just good. Feel just nice. And I'm happy.
Who is this? We went from Attenzione Policia to Germany to
Look,
Switzerland
Anna,
to Italia.
One of my talents is that I know how to articulate all the accents, okay? This is one of my talents, and it makes me in connection with the people in the people that speak this accent. For example, this is the French accent, okay? And when I can mimic their accent, I feel that I am one with them. You know what I mean?
But they don't feel you are one with them. But they are not one with you.
Exactly, that's the point. So instead of feeling like I am separate from them, I can say, oh, no, you know what?
Policia!
I can be right here with you. I can be right here with you, my friend. So, yes. And
so,
please excuse the background, it's okay.
So please excuse the background, there's currently a plane landing.
No, it's actually really cool, y'all. They clean the streets here. Okay, I mean, that's something to celebrate.
Yeah, they clean, like, they wipe the streets.
They
like,
scrub them. They mop them.
Like, literally, we need that in Texas. Like, huh?
In all of America.
So, you want to talk about our experience, kind of,
so far in Spain?
because we're not going to be able to. Like, just embrace it. Embrace are we going to embrace the sound, or is it going to mess up? Okay, he's gone. Okay, wait.
He's leaving.
Hala birja. Okay. So let's talk about our experience traveling in three different international airports. I kind of touched on it a bit alone. And now I want, by the way, first of all, let's address this
cute
seating right here, the best that we can do. So we are currently in Cadiz, Spain. Atenzione. And Journal Hijabi Live episode. And it's freezing. There's no heating system.
I literally saw your breath when you said that.
Yeah, look. Like, you could literally see our air, our breath. We're tucked in. We have runny noses, sore throats. The tile is, like, freezing. Alaskan Airlines. And, like, clearly you see the Alaskan bullworm here that I kind of struggle tucking in.
The coziness.
So I just have to, like, point that out. The coziness. So it's, like, kind of interesting to see the differences of, like, you know, landing here. Like, we're from Dallas, Texas, coming here in Spain, in Europe, in January, in the winter, not really knowing that there was going to be that huge shock of, like, how people overseas kind of experience winter. And in the beginning, I was, like, super complainy about it, and I still am. Because it's hard. Like, I'm not even like, it's hard.
Yeah.
But I think I realized, like, people here and stuff, like, you just start to adapt fast. Right. And you start to embrace it and see, like, okay, what are your options? You know, buying heaters. But then it's like, you also have to be vigilant of, like, the electricity costs, and like, right, it just really puts things into perspective. And
it
that's
does.
Like, what I'm thinking about, regardless, I have a runny nose, regardless, like, you just have, like, no productivity in Europe in the winter. Like, everyone just wants to stay home because it's so cold and there's just, like, no heating system. And
except for the people that have to work.
Yeah, but it seems like no one, like, works in this town. We're kind of, like, in a retirement town. So, like, everything is just, like, dead.
Chilling.
Like, literally chilling. Because they're retired.
I don't know, though. Even though, of course, it was a little bit uncomfortable to come here and not have the luxuries that we are afforded in the United States, which is a heating system at your fingertips or a cooling air system at your fingertips. And to just kind of, like, take a step back in time, it just reminds me so much of Amman, you know, and when we lived there. And so, like, this is not new to us. Like, we've done it before. And honestly, like, my favorite thing about it is really how it forces you to be cozy. Like, you have to double up on the layers. Wear your comfy, cozy socks. Make sure you're all bundled up. And I was literally telling you today, I feel like teta. I feel like my teta Raba. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I can't think of a better feeling than to feel like my teta. Truly.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt so held and comforted by my clothes. And it was such a unique, like, relationship to have with my clothes because I could appreciate them so much more. You know, like the pashmina scarf that's wrapped around. Like, I never viewed this pashmina scarf as that important.
Yeah, I like when I wore it when we went to Alhambra, which we'll talk about shortly, I really felt like her. And it's crazy because it's like when your grandparents pass, like, Alhamdulillah, like, it's like you're grown enough now at this age to realize the appreciation. But when they were around you, you were, like, too young to kind of comprehend the art,
right,
the articulation that was going on in her eyes. And now it's like,
they're a piece of history. They're literally, like, a piece of history.
It's like, look at me, Teta. I'm dressing like you. But, like, she's not there to see it. I'm like, I feel like I'm living like she was living, you know?
Right.
Like, we're in this apartment. Like you said, it is like a man, you know? Like, the tile, the the heating system, winter, like it gives us like similar experiences because we've lived there for over 3 years. But honestly, for me, I have not been abroad for 12 years internationally, so it was more of a shock to me. And I'm like, you know what, I never need to go back abroad because I've lived there for 3 years. But thinking of that huge gap, 12 years, it's like I came here and it's like that 3 years that I lived doesn't even matter, doesn't even count anymore. I don't even recall it.
Because it was so long ago?
Yeah, because it was so long ago. So it was like literally irrelevant. So right when I landed here, it felt like it was the first time experience overseas ever. You know, because this was actually my first time coming overseas.
Like as an adult.
As an adult. Seeing it, like knowing what I'm looking at, knowing like we went to like three different countries, landing at three different airports, like Montpellier and then Frankfurt. And being able to experience that in that adult lens was like very different than a child lens.
Mm-hmm. It feels good because you get to, like you said, comprehend everything and take it in. And it's mm-hmm. like you made the funny comment when we were at Alhambra and you were like, I would never come here with a kid because it's like a bad faulty and they don't remember it.
Who said that?
But no, it's like it's really beautiful to be able to like come have these experiences that you get to have in your memory and look back on, especially when you're with the people you love and you're making these amazing memories and you're going to these beautiful places and you're experiencing the new food. Like Alhambra was, I was telling Moni, the most beautiful place my eyes have ever seen.
Wow.
In my 27 years of living, it was the most beautiful, intricate, just mind-blowing, breathtaking art. And it was so beautiful to take that in. So beautiful. I was just walking there and contemplating and seeing like Islamic art. You know, and then I think about countries who have a very like who have changed the view on Islam, and there's so much evil in the world, and unfortunately people like to hide their evil behind the face of religion, which is a different kind of evil. And it just brought me back, like Islam is so beautiful, and this is a visual and visceral representation of it. And it's just so, I don't know, it's just like amazing to take that in because it really rooted in me the idea that our religion is so much more than we can fathom.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of Arab history lies within Andalusia, which is where we were. And Alhambra, you know, it really means the red. Mm-hmm. And Alhambra, and a very old, a very old Islamic kind of sanctuary where a sultan, a king lived. Mm-hmm. And to be able to enter that and then immediately see like Arabic words and words of Allah was very like close to home, close to heart.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I belonged there.
Yeah, exactly. I kept seeing La ghalibun illallah. And I was like, oh, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was everywhere, just a constant reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally everywhere. Every like room you would walk in, like there would be the whole line, like La ilaha illallah, Allah, Allah, Allah.
Yeah,
and people would just walk by, like they don't even know that like they think, I guess it's just like design and art. They don't know that right, like they're taking pictures of the ceiling and everywhere and tour guide. They don't know that there is a whole Arabic writing, that there's a whole meaning right there, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, but it's beautiful that, like, we know.
We know the secret, subtle messages.
Yeah, and I was, like, listening in on one of the tour guides, you know, when we entered that second palace, and with those beautiful pillars, there was four rivers, four waterways, and he said, in this Islamic art, these four waterways represent the four rivers in Jannah. And then one of the guys was like, what are the four rivers in Jannah, do you know? And he said, milk, honey, wine, and water. Whoa. And I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And it was funny, that guy was like testing the tour guide to make sure that he knew. So I learned something. I didn't know those were the four rivers in Jannah. you know, but just to have it, it is the literal definition of Jannah on earth, heaven on earth, to be able to create that, like, and the geometry and you know, being in a place like that, that is structured so precisely, it is a hub of good energy. Like, and it's like so much more than we can imagine, because these structures and these patterns, they just, like when you wear a hijab on your head, you're covering your head to keep the energy that is flowing from your head back into yourself instead of it just like going all over the place. So the same way, when you have a dome and you're creating these geometric shapes in the ceiling, that creates something. That creates something. And to be able to live in that and to experience that just as a visitor, I'm just so grateful for it, honestly.
And it was cool, like when we were leaving and we went like down a hill, and there was like the kingdom still didn't end. It's like Andalusia, yeah. It's like this maze and map of a lot of structures and histories and building. It's like anywhere you go, it's like you keep going and going and going. It's like a maze. That's what I loved about it, because it's like you think of that perfect city, mm. that like you don't want a car, you want to walk, everything is accessible, it's historic, it's beautiful, it's sunny, there's culture, it's like a melting pot. Like all of that is one in Granada, mm-hmm. Granada,
mm-hmm.
Granada. And I'm glad that we got to experience that, and we met like a lot of Arabs when we ended the Alhambra, and we went down the hill, and we met the, like, they have these shops and they're all Arab, and one of them was playing Quran, what was his name, like Abu Yusuf, and we bought from him like things, and he is from Syria,
mm-hmm.
and then of course, you know, he's Arab, he told us which restaurant to go to. We went to that restaurant, and that guy was Moroccan, Maghribi. We ate food there, and it was like so good. So just to be able to immerse yourself, it just felt like home.
Yeah.
Like as an Arab, and that's what Abu Yusuf said, that he felt so at home, like Andalusia is his home,
mm-hmm.
from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad that we got to experience that, and the Airbnb, and being such at a prime location.
Yeah. And like even seeing the cathedral, there was the it's called the Granada Cathedral. I looked it up, right next to us, right next to our Airbnb.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And unfortunately I didn't get to go inside, although I would have loved to. But one of the nights we kind of just sat outside and looked in, I was just taking in the architecture of this place. And of course they had Mother Mary there in the beginning.
Mary, come to me.
Yeah. And I just like had a little moment with her. I was like, just with my favorite Palestinian woman. And yeah. I just like had a moment with her, and I just like offered some gratitude.
Maryam.
Literally Maryam. Yeah.
I said that in another episode, like hijabis are representations of Mary, of Maryam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, so that was really beautiful, just all the history that's there in Granada, and being able to be there and walk the same streets that these people walked years and years ago is just, it's a gift. It's a gift that not many people get to do.
That is true. And now I'm going to read my journal entry, because it just makes it more of that authentic experience. So let's see. I don't even remember or know what I wrote. So we're going to see and then discuss it.
Okay.
4:40 p.m. I'm very detailed with my journal entries. 4:40 p.m. January 4th, 2024, Thursday. Sitting on a bench at a bus stop in Jerez, Spain. The weather is chilly. Oh, this is the first journal entry that I made, like, when I arrived. And then you and Tala left me and went to, like, the shop. And I was, like, sitting, freezing with our luggage and waiting for the bus. First time here in my life. And I look right across me and see, like, orange Palestinian trees. That's, like, one of the first things that you notice when we landed. It's, like, it's so beautiful. Like, they have these
trees full with like oranges and clementina.
Mm-hmm.
The weather is chilly. I spy plump green trees with oranges and two bus drivers talking in the distance. It was a long journey to arrive to Spain. From Dallas, our dad dropping us off at the airport at 7:30 a.m. while telling us his work stories from 1998. Then we arrived to Montreal, then Frankfurt with each two-hour layovers, then to Sevilla, where we took an Uber to Santa Justa train station, got kicked off. So we need to talk about. Got kicked off of our seats twice and had to pay for a ticket. Then finally we arrived and saw our sister Dada pass by in a bus that honked super loud. It pumped the crowd. We saw Dada walking and I ran to hug her and take a sis pic. Three cheetah girls take Spain.
Cheetah girls.
So let's go back to that guy. Let's go back to that experience of the train station.
It didn't bother me as much as it bothered you. So I'll let you talk about it.
There is just a lot to say there. A lot to say here. So we're two foreign girls, clearly. No matter how hard we try to hide it, it's not gonna hide. And our sister, Dala, sends us two tickets for this train, right? And then tells us one of the tickets don't work. And not to worry, and that he's just going to scan it and just act like you're dumb and you don't speak English and it's going to be fine. So let me tell you why we get on the Polar Express train, right? And we sit in any seats, right? Even though that we're assigned certain seats that we're supposed to sit on. And apparently no one cares and just sits. So we get on the bus and there's like many different stops in Sevilla. This is the train station in Sevilla, right? And so the first stop, these two ladies walk in. We're in their chairs. But they don't care because they just sat in the open chairs next to us. But really, their chairs were like our chairs. Second stop. The guy walks in and then we have to get up. So that's like the second time. And it's like you already have so much worry and anxiety from the trip and you don't want to get up and you don't want to be in the wrong seat and you don't want to be in trouble. And I was like sick of it. Like, I can't do this for the third time. Like, let's just go find our seats. So we literally just kept our luggage there. I went to find my seat, which was at the very end of the train station. And then he just like went wherever.
I was standing. I was like, I've been sitting for too long.
Yeah, but I told you the bus wasn't going to arrive for like another 30, 40 minutes. And I wasn't just going to stand for 40 minutes with a backpack. And so I just went and sat. And like, I was wearing my bandana. And I was wondering like why people were just like looking at me. Like this girl next to me, she's like young with like her boyfriend or whatever, some guy. And she would not stop looking at me. I don't know why. And then Tata later on told me, like, why are you literally wearing a bandana? That's like a gang. I'm like, okay, yeah, because I came with like a plastic, like a brown, like cardboard bag. And like, I just like sat and I was like mad. And you know, when I'm worried and like anxious, like there's just like this RBF phase and have a bandana. So I don't know if she thought like I was some part like of a gang or something. But quick tip, yeah, don't wear a bandana in Spain. And so I go back because I'm like, okay, like we need to stay together, whatever. And this girl next to you is like, oh, I'm gonna get off the station, like whatever, you can come take the seat. I come take the seat. We're sitting together. Our luggage is still miles away on the train. Our bus stop is coming up. The train conductor that conducts the train comes by our train, right? Our area of the train. What is it called? The block, whatever?
The car.
And he starts scanning tickets, right? Mind you, my sister told us that one of our tickets work and one of them doesn't because she bought it for another day, blah, blah, blah. She didn't have enough, whatever. So she registers our name, different names than our legal names. She registered you as Mina. And then she registered me as Tala, as her name. And it's like, he's probably like the first experience that like kind of welcoming us to Spain, like a worker talking to us, whatever. He was having no mercy. Zero mercy.
Zero mercy. The mercy was zero. They were so close to me. Like, 1 minute, and he's going to fall on top of me with his credit card machine speaking in Spanish, like, zero tolerance. He's like, these two American bitches, whatever, like, has, like, wants to go home, is done with the workday, done with dealing with tourists, whatever. He was going to make us pay. I don't, even if we got him right, I felt like he was still going to make us pay. So, blah, 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 whatever. He was speaking in Spanish, and where's your ticket? Blah, blah, blah. Show me your passport. Your name doesn't match the name. Estás nickname. Mina, loca, mina, policía, atenzione, atenzione. Literally, like, nothing's working. Zero mercy. The whole act dumb thing was not working because he hated us from the beginning. Was it the hijab? I don't know. But it was something.
Was it the bandana? We don't know.
The hijabi and in a gang? No, por favor. Lo siento. And it's like, so this is the part that kind of pissed me off. So, right? It's like he made it seem like, okay, like he was trying to like understand. Like, I need to get a sip of water. Like, trying to understand us, blah, blah, blah. But then he was like, okay. Bien. 11:50. So, what do you think?
I mean, that's another thing I noticed on this trip is, like, just making it about me again and my growth. I was like, dang, I used to get easily agitated just like you.
I was not easily agitated. I'm, like, threatened.
That's the thing.
That was a threat.
Don't get me wrong. I still had so much anxiety when I saw him coming. I had so much anxiety.
Well, no.
And I was so stressed out and worried.
I had anxiety before because of the whole travel process. It took so long. I was already at the end of my level, agitated, anxious, nervous. Anything would have made me pop off.
That's the problem. It's like, when you notice you're there, take a moment, go to your meditation app. 2 minutes. Literally 2 minutes. 1 minute.
I don't know. I didn't have my headphones. Whatever. Like, it was.
And
just
even,
like,
that, like, I learned.
I have to experience it hard the first time, and then next time I know. Like, it's just always like that for me.
Yeah, I'm someone who definitely, like, we're all like human being, right? We like get anxious, we get worried, we get nervous. But something you can always come back to is your breath.
So, do you have any anxious moment or nervous moment or something that you've really hated that's happened to you during like this trip so far?
I mean, like I said, I was very anxious when the guy in the bus was coming, because I honestly thought he was going to kick us off the bus. Like, if paying was the issue, I don't mind. I'll pay. But I thought he was literally going to be like, no, like, you have to get off. Like, take your bags and get off.
Policía.
That's what I thought was going to happen. So, of course, I was worried and I was thinking, like, the worst case scenario. But no, you know, like, everything always works out. Everything is always fine. Like, it's not a big deal. When he's told us to pay, I was just like, oh, okay. Like, okay.
And then, like, literally, it's like we just, like, it's shahnah now, like, on the bus, back and forth, like, moving seats. And then, you know, they always say the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow after the clouds, the rain before the storm. We saw two donkeys outside the window, and that was just a representation of our experience on that train station, and it just made us feel like, okay,
it's all good.
It's all good. We're all grounded.
Yeah.
So you want to pull a card and ask? One card me, one card you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really strangers. Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. What am I most qualified to give advice about?
Like, how to, like, attenzione pickpocket? No, how to, like, stay grounded, like, no matter what. Like, how to go back to your calmness, and that, like, no matter what, like, you, I'm the one, like, giving advice right now. I don't know how to say, like, one word, like, like back to earth, basically. You know, like spiraling something nervous, you just make it seem like no matter what it is, there's like it's gonna be okay, basically.
Everything's figure outable. I got that from you.
And I got that from another podcast.
Guys, excuse us. I'm sorry, I have a runny nose. Okay,
I'm not editing this video because I'm a solo. I'm the host, producer, editor, content creator, social media manager. So I will not be going back and editing this video. You are getting the full raw clip. Okay, moving on. Are we ready? Are you ready for it?
Boom. I think these candles are making me sicker. Can we turn them off?
Turn them off. Los años, los feliz. Okay. What about me is hardest for you to understand? Everything.
I would say your lack of trust, but at the same time, I can't.
Wait, elaborate on that. Like, you're saying I have trust issues?
You always like to separate the two, but like, trust issues means that you have issues trusting.
So are you not understanding my trust issues or my lack of trust?
I think they're one and the same.
Elaborate.
Again, trust issues just means that you have issues trusting. Trust is trust. It's the same thing. Trust is one thing. But at the same time, I very much do understand it. And like, obviously, we all have moments where we struggle to trust, you know, we struggle to trust that God has our best interest in mind, that the universe is working in our favor, that things always work out, that things are figure outable, that everything's going to be okay. And, you know, it's just like, it's a moment of like, you get to choose. Like, do I choose to
be? Let me read this again. What about me is hardest for you to understand?
Your inability to trust. Like, just.
Oh, yeah. See, this is the second thing that I wrote. The trust. Okay, go on.
Like, the example of actually Alhamra is really what hit home for me. I was like, God damn.
When I ditched y'all, it was worth it. I have the footage for it.
No, you ditched us several times and that was fine.
So did you.
But the moment when we were taking our little break and you pulled out a snack and you literally would not let Tedder. You wouldn't let Tella reach in the candy bag because you didn't trust that she would only take two and you thought she was going to take five.
Because my trust was... There's different types of trust. There's trusts. I knew that she was not going to take more than two.
So then why didn't you let her?
Because the way that she was speaking was unacceptable. And that was it was more about that.
You were both being stubborn with each other, but I just feel like as the older sister, it could have been easily resolved by just like handing her the bag and letting her take two candies.
Are you serious? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, you want to join the conversation? Because I already told Yasmin that you're gonna come in here and interrupt us. So come, Yella, come interrupt us.
First of all, when we were kids,
recording.
Oh.
Come sit here.
Get your booty ass.
Come sit here.
No.
Okay. I don't care. This isn't being edited because I told her that you were gonna come and ruin our video. You're literally
first
ruining.
First of all, she has this like view of me when we were kids and like.
Whoa.
Oh, you're kidding.
What when kind I, of trauma are you coming
that's
up with?
Literally, your mentality when I came to get some candy, you were like, you're gonna eat it all. I literally.
Because you knew you were.
I control my sugar intake. I have a sensitive stomach. I did not even want more than one. And you have this mindset that I just want to, like, take all of this candy like a child. Like, I'm not 4 years old.
But that's not why.
I told her the stem of her thing was just trust. Like, she has difficulty trusting. Like, she could have just trusted that you were only gonna take two and
like
given you
so
the bag.
Stupid, like it's food, like it's
but I know. Also, since you want to pin the trust on me, by the way, we're just like normal sisters keeping it real raw, arguing about an incident that happened at Alhambra where I had a snack. And we actually, if you want to just pin it on me, I had the lack of trust that she wasn't going to take, that she was going to take more than two peach rings. She also didn't have the trust that I to take the two peach rings that I was giving her.
She didn't want it from the other hand that you took your...
But it wasn't that hand. It was another hand.
She wanted to... she's a germaphobe. She wanted to get it with her own hands.
Exactly. I don't think that's anything...
It's just about understanding each other.
But if you actually understand, it wasn't even... For me, it was two things. It was like the lack of trust because... The lack of trust, why? Not because I woke up one day and decided not. Trust is built throughout years, times, examples.
But that's blaming.
A lot of her, blaming. It's a fact.
But that's blaming. No, blaming. I don't trust you because.
Yeah, because from my snack experiences, she eats my snacks and foods and takes them all.
You have to understand
that. We were literally 7 years old. Literally.
You have to have a reputation of eating people's food,
honey. When
we were
children, but like what?
No, would still. Anyways, the other part, the bigger part for me wasn't even, that was just like a small percentage, the trust. Like, I was actually going to let her take it. I don't care. What really stopped it for me was the disrespect that was being displayed in front of me and in public. You called me mentally sick and you basically were verbally abusing me in public in front of people and in front of me and speaking to your older sister. And I was like, I'm cutting this off. There is no way that I'm going to provide you something while you're verbally abusing me simultaneously.
I felt like it was deserved.
No, it wasn't. Over some candy?
It was a silly little thing.
So, no, it's not silly. It's not silly for someone to call you mentally disturbing in front of people.
No, I mean the whole thing.
So silly.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that. She said that after.
No,
everything.
She said that while. And I hate.
Still feel
and
that
I hate
way,
that.
Though,
and
I don't take it back because you literally argued with me over a piece of candy.
You actually started arguing with me.
I wanted a piece of candy.
I was fine giving you two. Okay. So, going back to another journal entry, 11:02 a.m., January 5th, and this kind of talks about, like, what we were talking about, like, trust. January 5th, 2024, Friday. It's going to be posted on YouTube. Like, stop ruining myself.
Calm down.
Triggered.
It's okay, like...
I told you she was going to come and ruin this video.
She's not ruining it. She's adding.
I love how this just like turned into a reality TV show. Welcome to the Cotter's reality TV show.
Read your journal entry.
Well, I have work tomorrow.
Okay.
So
thank you for coming and ruining our video. Can you go to sleep quiet?
Down.
Thank you. Go to bed now. We already knew that you were sleeping and you came and ruined the video.
Well, you woke me up, so.
No, we actually heard you the whole time singing and talking. Good night. Yeah.
You don't want to hear her journal entry?
Because she's going to continue to ruin it. I know her.
When she's done, she'll go close the door and go to sleep.
Go to bed.
Why are you telling her what to do in her own house?
Literally. Go home.
You have school tomorrow. Why aren't you going to bed? I don't understand.
Why are you so triggered?
Hello.
Okay, because I'm going to warn y'all, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to read this, she's going to interrupt me and laugh and ruin the video. Okay. So my second journal entry, 11:02 a.m., January 5th, 2024, Friday. Aboard a bus on its way to Granada. My two sisters, dos hermanas, are sitting to my left. To my left and right. Gazing at the amazing city of Sevilla. Last night in Sanlúcar, I was almost...
I can't see it. It's almost freezing. Let me read it.
Last night... Last night in Sanlúcar, I was almost frozen to death.
But you can see my air. My. I love that I just said it so casually. Gazing at the beautiful sunset. Last night I was frozen to death. Who the fuck says that? I'm out in Spain. Okay. I was almost frozen to death at the apartment. She has no heating system.
I literally have a heater and you turn it on.
Bitch, you turn it on for 1 hour, shut up, and you leave it in your room while we freeze to death.
I literally told you to bring warm clothes.
To bring a heater? At the apartment due to no heat ventilation. I'm fucking crying. Starving due to no food. This sounds like a death note. Okay. I began judging my Spain experience from that one area. But as we traveled through Sevilla, I felt more of the culture, the people, in a modern mix. I saw a group of joggers run past a Taco Bell. I said, okay, I like Sevilla, which translates to, I like Spain. I did the same thing back in New York City, where I judged the city through one stay the first night. So now I really learned my lesson to wait until at least the second day where I'm calmer to assess new places and travel. I've also learned to have trust in the people guiding me and in the process. The moments, even the hectic ones, are what form a story. An experience.
Nice.
It's been good. Yeah, traveling can make you learn a lot of things about yourself.
It does. I mean, especially like traveling with people, your triggers can come up clearly. But it's like when it's your sisters, it's like no matter what you do, and you like know this, if you have sisters, it's like it's frozen to death. It's like no matter how harsh of a fight that you have, you're always gonna go back. You're like gonna wake up the next morning and then be like, give me the remote, as if like nothing just happened. And so, like, that's not really the case, like, if you were just to, like, travel
with, I mean, it's with also healthy to, like, talk about things, too, you know, so you don't stay mad at each other.
Yeah. Do you think we talk about things?
Me and you did, yeah. But I wish even Kata would.
Okay. Do you want another question?
Yeah.
I'll read mine first since you read your first the last time. When in this game did you feel most connected to me?
Right now. Like sharing your journal entry, I think that's very vulnerable and just very big of you. So fake? I appreciate that. Huh?
Do you say fake of me?
Big.
Big of me.
And yeah, like it takes guts to do that. And, you know, get to learn more about each other and like your experiences and how you view, like how you viewed the trip so far and like how you were affected by certain things that happened. So
you want to talk about like maybe after your question, you want to like talk about if you remember like anything from your journal entry, because you've journaled throughout this trip more than me, like if you wanted to like recall
I can go get my journal. I don't mind.
No.
No?
No, it's okay. Like, if you remember, you don't have to go and get it.
Well, I know I was journaling today about how much I resemble Teta today. And I was saying, like, I don't know if it's because I have my robe and my scarf and my amta on, or it's because I ate some garlic. But I said in the journal entry, I said, I feel that it's more than that and it's deeper than that. And it also made me reflect on the fact that, like, you know, I just took some ginger right now because I'm not feeling well. But, like, she used to do it all the time. She didn't wait to feel sick to take care of her body. She would always take care of her body the same way she took care of her plants. She had so many plants in her room. And I was just kind of thinking about her and how she always prioritized, you know, her comfort and her coziness. Like, she would always prioritize that, and in such a beautiful way. And, like, she only went out when it was necessary. And, you know, she would literally basically be meditating all day. She'd be in her room with the lights off, just, like, basically meditating. No, it's the other way. Yeah. And that, you know, that, what I realized, this is such a great way. Like, that, first of all, it's so good for your neck in, like, short periods of time, and second of all, it gets you to release so much because you are basically, like, opening your diaphragm in your chest and your throat to where it, like, pours out, you know. Like, just try it. You exhale so much. So as a woman, Teta, who went through so many things in her life, it was very important for her to release. And, like, you can do talk therapy and you can, you know, talk to people tapping about and all these things, but exactly, you have to move that out of your body physically, whether that's tapping, whether that's dancing, whether that's breathing,
crying.
Like, these things are important so that you can make space in your vessel, in your body. So I was just thinking about that, like, dang, Teta knew what she was doing. And also, like, she was very misunderstood. She was very misunderstood. And everybody loved to call her crazy. And it's just like, y'all just don't understand her because you're choosing not to understand her. It's easy for you to just be lazy and be like, oh, she's crazy. But actually, like, there's studies shown that, like, people who talk to themselves are actually more intelligent. Because you can have a dialogue with yourself and you are understanding yourself better when you do that. And so it just, like, really, I was connecting with her when I was, I mean, all of today, but also, like, when I was doing my journaling and kind of remembering her in that way. And I just have so many beautiful memories with her. I remember making rose water with her. Like, we would go together, pick the roses. They were, like, these beautiful pink roses. And I just remember that so vividly. We were in the matbakh and she was making rose water, and she would put the roses in the tunjara, and then she just, like, did everything so delicately and with love. And then she would put the plate, and she told me basically how it would work, and the water would come and drip, and that would be the rose water. And, like, I just have so many beautiful memories with her, and I'm excited to be in this phase in my life where I can embrace her more and, like, just embody her essence. Because to me, there's nothing more beautiful than living in the ancestral way. And also, like, being able to merge that ancestral way with modern day. So, like, that's very important to me. And so, yeah, that's part of what I wrote about.
Do you think you understood her? You mentioned,
I think so,
people.
Now I'm understanding her, yeah. Like, today I'm understanding her. I'm understanding her more. Like, just the fact that I did that journal, in my journal prompt, that's when I felt like I was understanding her, because I was writing about it.
Because you're reliving her life.
And basically,
the example that she led you in and left you with.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you have, like, the most experiences with her, which is the personal experiences that lead you to form that bond and connection of understanding that other people that maybe weren't around her as much lack to understand.
Yeah, and I just think like she was dealt some really bad cards in her life, and for some reason like she was blamed for that. And it just really upsets me when people choose to misunderstand someone instead of taking the time and really just like sitting with the fact, like, okay, like why is she experiencing these things, or like why is she doing these things? And I don't know, I'm just glad that I could take some time today and reflect on them and see like where her intentions were, why she was doing what she was doing. And like, she wouldn't do some outlandish shit. Like, I think the craziest thing she did that I saw was like she would bring back a cart from Walmart because she didn't know, or she would like eat ketchup with a spoon. Like, ketchup is good. Just like little things like that people just labeled as absolutely insane.
I think it's,
but ultimately here's the thing, she was doing whatever the fuck she wanted to do, and that's something I can learn from.
I think
that's
iconic.
Iconic.
I did not even remember that until you mentioned that. That was
iconic.
Single-handedly the most iconic thing that was done in the United of the States
at a Walmart
in the entirety of the United States of Americana. She went to Walmart, Alayhamha, our grandma, my mom's dad, and she
wearing some jeans.
Really? I don't even know what she was wearing. So like, we were out, right? And like, she came to visit us. I don't know if it was like her first or second time, and stayed with us like a couple of months. We were like children. This was like 2008 era. And so we had like went out in our minivan with her mom. And then I guess like my grandma stayed, and we went back home and didn't find her home. She went to Walmart walking, iconic, just walking. Like, there was no, like, I don't know what phone she had, maybe like a little flip screen phone. No GPS, no maps, no car, no guide, no questions.
No English.
She found Walmart. She found the path to Walmart. She manifested it, and she found herself in Walmart in the tomato aisle.
And I know she had a blast. That actually, not wearing some jeans, I think she bought some jeans there. She bought some jeans, and like, she bought all the things. Actually, she bought some marshmallows. Like, she just,
it's crazy.
She had herself a blast.
She had herself a ball. I've never, like, it's like you have like this distant, tiny, like, not like memory, like a atom,
like a fragment,
like a memory, a fragment, like a dot in your subconscious mind, and you just see it as what it is, right? But you never really tap into that story and really break it down and talk about it. So it's like, this is the first time that I'm like breaking down that atom, that dot. Mm-hmm. So it's like crazy, and it makes me like understand her more. And it's like, because the part that I kept my mind kept focusing on is she came back, she did her shopping at Rodeo Drive, and she came walking back with the cart. The cart was taken. Policia. 211, 122, policia, attenzione pickpocket. She took the cart, walked back home.
Iconic.
She still said, knows the way route. It's recorded in the brain.
Yeah.
The GPS. Took the cart. Like, it reminds me of like that scene in Home Alone where Kevin walks with the bags back home. But it don't matter if it broke, because she's smart. It's in the grocery cart. It's in the cart. She's literally driving the cart from Walmart onto the street, onto the street light, onto the sidewalk, all the way back to our neighborhood. And it's like, Walmart was like, what, like about like a 10-minute drive from her house, but a walk would have been at least 30 minutes, maybe even 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came back with the car, and then I guess she like left the car in front of our house or in the garage. I don't know what the thought process was of like either doing iconic shit with no fucks given, or thinking that someone was like going to come pick it up.
Obviously, she didn't know what she was doing was wrong. She just was like, well, I
know. But what if she did and she's just iconic like that? She's like, deal with it. My bad. رح سوي هيك وانت تجي لي
she did what she needed to do and company. What she wanted to do
because she was the company
basically she wasn't going to be you know carrying these heavy bags that she just smart. Did her shopping with so she put them in the car and she pushed the car back
that's
home.
Very strategic to be honest
it's very strategic if you tell and me. Yeah I'm just like she an icon
literally and so we came back and I guess my mom was like flabbergasted to see a Walmart cart in front of her house and so all I know is that in the end my dad and
putting
he
in the
had
car.
Like a van that like opens up he drive a rape van and stuff all my friends like call it that like he drove like the white truck van where you like open it up and there's like a lot of space
because he put furniture in there
yeah
he was
furniture
a
and rugs and so he like opened up the two doors and he had to like carry that 30,000 ton pound like cart and put it in and then I guess ship it back to Walmart like drive it back and she's just like I am the company so you know I'm glad that you brought that up and it's like we're just like sitting here cherishing like her memory Tetarapa, our beloved, our mom's, our dad's mom. And it's like I mentioned kind of earlier in the beginning, it's like you don't really sit to think about it or to talk about someone like until they are gone because that's when you are able to kind of recall. Because when you're with someone, like you're in the moment, right? Like we're in the moment. When you're gone, when someone's gone,
you're not in the moment.
You're not in the moment. Your mind, all the memories it processes like up until that moment, and really your mind starts focusing in the past because you have to.
That's
like,
where they exist.
Yeah, that's where they start to exist in the past. You don't even remember. Like, you remember like the first time that you met them or seen them, and you remember the last time that you met them or seen them, and then you remember the
special
most
memories.
Special memories
mm-hmm.
and that I think was a special memory
mm-hmm. It definitely was a special memory and I just love like thinking about her because you know she taught me a lot and like she's me like
I am her
she is a grandma because we exist literally she's a grandma because we exist and we are grandchildren because she exists. And we, like, it's just amazing to think about because I just, like, I don't even know. Like, it's like she is the tree and we are the fruit.
Yeah.
You know?
She's our grandparent. And one day we're going to be that to people that don't even exist yet.
Right.
We are the tree.
But they exist inside us.
Just floating in the universe.
No, because you carry all of the...
It's one of them?
The embryos
yeah,
that you're ever going to
Don't they
have.
Die after a period?
Mm-mm. You carry them all within your ovaries. So like...
Yeah, but when the egg cracks, the egg...
No, you carry... Yeah, but those weren't going to be kids. So the ones that are going to be kids, they are there right now.
So we're not carrying
it. No, you do. You can look it up. All of the eggs that you're ever going to carry are already inside of your ovaries before you are born. So when you were in mama's stomach, you already had all the ovaries that you were ever going to have. Isn't that wild?
It's freezer eggs.
I'm good.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I do.
I mean, we could if we needed to, but...
Well, that's crazy. Well, I'm glad that we had that talk. And I think we're going to start wrapping it up. It's like, what, 1:30 a.m. here in Cadiz, Spain.
We're actually in San Lucar, right out
Atencione.
Of...
I mean, I didn't want to share the exact... Just share with them the apartment and the floor number. So they can come up here. And so did you want to add anything... Or something that I didn't ask you, or something that we didn't like touch on before we wrap this up.
No, I think we touched on a lot of good points and had a really good conversation.
Okay, well that wraps up the episode, and we'll talk to you soon.
Ciao, Bella.
Bella, ciao, 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 Bella, ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.